message this fifth midweek, and our last one is from our Psalm 143 and also the prayer that we prayed in the catechesis, at the catechism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Even the most likable of us has an enemy. The Lord was liked, but he also was despised. So also are we. We will be despised by the enemy because we are his children and we are his followers. So David says in this psalm, the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. That is how Satan works, my friends. Satan follows after the Christians and hounds him until the day he dies. Satan's one and only goal is only to get you to deny the word of forgiveness, deny the word of the Lord that you hear here. And Satan's greatest weapon, as we hear it from Genesis, is his lie, his greatest weapon of war. Satan lies and deceives. He deceives the Christian into believing that you and I don't sin, that our sin is not that serious, or he deceives us, he deceives all of us into believing that your sin isn't very bad, that you don't really need Christ, that you don't really need his word or forgiveness, that we all don't need absolution from our Lord. This is why we as Christians must pray this penitential psalm before us as it is taught to us. They teach us who we are as sinners. Sinners who cling to Christ alone and his words of absolution. So the psalm teaches us that what the Christian life is all about. They teach us about sin and they teach us about forgiveness, which we've been taught for the past Wednesdays that we had. So in other words, we may well say that with Luther, as we pray the catechism, the psalm, and the Bible, that the Bible teaches everything, and we need to know what it teaches to believe in Jesus Christ. So notice how the very common sins that are before us are spoken in this catechism part that we just recited. Again, let me say it again. Which sins are these? Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Notice that we don't hear here the murder. We don't hear about theft. There is no embezzlement. There is no rebellion. There is no adultery. These sins mentioned here are part of our daily life. And notice where they start. Take a moment and think about this question. Who are you? For you know your station in life. Father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, worker. Each of us has a calling, a vocation, where God has placed us. And this is where God has given you to live and to work. And it is in that calling and in that vocation that we need law and gospel after the condemnation, the absolution. For who among us has not been unfaithful or lazy or hot-tempered or rude or quarrelsome? Have you not picked a verbal fight with a coworker or a friend or your husband or your wife and you didn't get your way? Have you hurt others by your words or deeds? Have you stolen? Have you done anything wrong because you didn't get your way? Have you wasted any gifts? Or have you wasted the gifts that God has given you? Or maybe this, have we stolen from God by not giving to the church? God gives. And these are real sins. To the eyes of the world, maybe they aren't big sins. Maybe they're just trifles, nothing to be so concerned about. Yet it is in these very trifles that God died on the cross to forgive all those sins that mentioned, and maybe some of them not mentioned, that you know and feel in your heart. And maybe the Son of some of them you don't even know or feel in your heart. But on the cross, the Lord has come to forgive them. So if God takes these we so-called little sins, or what the world calls little sins, if God takes them seriously, perhaps we, as his followers and his children, maybe perhaps we should take them seriously as well. So that is why we have been through confession and absolution, and will continue to do it. God wants these sins to be gone from your life forever. He wants to cast them into the depth of the sea so that you may rise new again with his Son, Jesus Christ, so that all of us can be sons and daughters, children of God, saints, sinless because of the Son. This Lent, we have spent a considerable time in the Catechism, or the Office of the Keys. And it's been a journey into God's gift of absolution. For again, it is easy to focus on sins, but we can also focus on the act of confession. And maybe after these few weeks, some of you have partaken in God's gift of confessing our sins. Or maybe some of you, I don't know, I'll have to ask Pastor, some of you came to him and confessed confession and absolution individually. Well, the truth is, I don't know, I don't need to know your sin. The Lord knows your sin, and the Lord wants to forgive them. And maybe if you did that, for those who have done it, it is hard. The words may not come right out, whether you did it before God or you needed the ear of the pastor to hear it and his lips to say, your sins are forgiven. Some of them are embarrassing, I'm sure. It almost seems like we can do much about them, or there's nothing we can do to get better. But the promise of the Lord is there, that because you are forgiven, his word and his forgiveness, that will make you better. I mean, who cares about how I act or you act or how you treat others if you don't know what you have done? The Lord does care, again, as we have mentioned earlier. What actually works is this confession and absolution, because it is divine. So whatever your sin might be, they are forgiven them. That is the whole point. The whole point is that your God, he cares. He cares so much that he has sent his Son over death so that you might live. So when Jesus said, it is finished, from the cross, he's talking about your sin. Your sins are all done. It's finished. Yes, he's talking about the time when you were angry with your wife, or with your husband. He's talking about the time when you nagged your spouse and didn't give him rest. He's talking about the time when you give parents the silent treatment because you want to rebel against them, because you didn't get your wishes. He's talking about the time you refuse to do something at work because you're unhappy with your boss, all of these and more, they are forgiven them. After these few weeks, we've learned a lot about God's individual confession and absolution. Yes, we taught ourselves this Lent from the Word. And I know maybe it has been a hard journey for you, or perhaps it's been strange. Maybe you haven't heard a sermon this way. For it can't be a hard journey, but it is also a wonderful one to confess and to receive absolution. But God has many things to teach us. He wants to teach us, you and I. And He wants to give you, and He can hardly wait to hear your word of confession in His ears so that you can be reconciled with Him in His love, because if you are absolved in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, who dies on the cross for you, He longs to hear you say with David, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me." He inspires you to say those good words of confession and hear the sweet words of absolution and forgiveness. So through God's word, He comes to us. And all psalmist cries out, My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. For brothers and sisters, aren't we in a land where sin is ignored and sin is held as good? But the Lord comes to us. So flee to it. Come to it. He will hold you. Even though the Lord, the just Lord, will hold your sins against you, He will forgive you for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is your hope. And that is our trust. And that is the life of our children of God. In the name of Jesus.